Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Free Kick Podcast, our club preview series, where today we are doing the Adelaide Crows, which, honestly, a big team. We're hitting to the real top end. We hit the top four. Joining with me today is Liam. Liam, how are you going?
Look, is it possible to have Ebony Marinoff discussion fatigue?
It can be.
That's what I'm currently considering. Because I love watching Adelaide every week. I love talking about Adelaide. But the fact that almost definitely, I can tell you now, I'm looking at the episode structure. Ebony Marinoff is going to dominate discussion when you talk about the Crows.
I've no doubt that she is, but I think you need to strap yourself in for a long season because she is going to continue to dominate all season long. I can't imagine there's a score she can score that won't be hugely relevant to what we do this year.
It's either bad, at which point she loses $1 million in 2 weeks, or it's incredible and you go, haha, you didn't start her. That really sets the table for my team. Thank you for that 350 points with the C.
Well, firstly, spoilers, Liam. Absolutely massive spoilers for what's to come. But would you be able to give us a little bit of a recap of how the Crows went in 2024?
I can. And as much as it was the season of Ebony Marinoff having the highest ever average in 2024, it wasn't the season of the Crows. They fell well below their usual high expectations. Now, that is only with 3 losses. But it was just the fact that they really failed to hit those same dominant marks that they had in season prior. There was bad games against Melbourne and St Kilda in the kind of mid-back end of the year that really surprised teams with just how little they were hitting their like absolute dominant best that I think kind of spoke to maybe a need for some change that happens at Adelaide this year. And so in terms of some of the players that I think that will have a big impact coming in, I think that Grace Kelly joining Neve Kelly on the wing is just going to be a massive benefit to the speed of their ball movement. I've always kind of felt like it had been a selection of younger players who may have been better suited to be midfielders or half forwards or half backs who were playing on the wing. I think Grace Kelly immediately steps in and boosts their ball movement across from her sister. And then I think the other big player that does join is Hannah Ewings from Port Adelaide, a former AFLW rising star who has a very unique skill set as an excellent mid-sized forward and also a great stoppage player in the midfield. I think those two could have a massive say on how ultimately Adelaide finished this year. In terms of the players that they lost, there are only two that were really playing that many games last year, and that's Nashua Allen and Taylor Levy, both of whom I think will get better opportunities to show the kind of true potential of who they could be at new clubs this season as compared to what they did in 2024.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting to see them get a run, but the Crows just seem to be falling short in final series year after year. These prelim finals, they can't get past them. I'm curious to see what the change of coach will do if you know, in one last final throw of the dice that they do manage to get over the line, or if it's the change that's necessary.
Yeah, and I wonder what will happen kind of at the end of the year around their list build. They are not a particularly old list, but I also would not say that they are a young list, and I could definitely see some of their older players taking the retirement of Doc Clark at the end of 2025, which for people that didn't already know, that's kind of been announced ahead of the season that he'll be stepping away and this is his final year. I kind of think that this is it has a potential to be a bit of a last hurrah for this dominant era of 10 years of Adelaide Crows.
Yeah. I think it's now is probably the best time to jump over to our interview with Jess Allen, who Mel got to sit down with and hear from her about how they plan to change things up in the 2025 season.
And welcome to Free Kick. I'm Mel, and today I'm joined by Adelaide Crows ruck Jess Allen. Jess, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me on here.
Oh, good. So we're just over the halfway mark or so with pre-season. How's it been feeling?
Yeah, that's it. Honestly, we've been flying at the moment. I can't believe we're already 6 or 7 weeks in. It's been big for us so far. We've made a bit of a jump in our training program this year. So previously we'd focus on a lot more nights so girls could work during the day, but this year we've kind of made the commitment now that we're paid yearly and we're upping our hours and contracts and stuff. So it's been actually really exciting to be able to train so much and be together so much. And yeah, I think we're already putting up some big numbers on the track in comparison to every year. But I think that's every AFLW club. We just train more and more every year. So yeah, I think we're looking really good and yeah, actually really, really enjoying pre-season this year.
Yeah, that's great to hear that you're able to get in like more training sessions. How's it feel on the body? Like, is it a noticeable difference from last season?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it has been a lot, even just the prioritizing what you do outside of footy. In previous years, you've still had time to fit in a lot more time, like socially on your weekends and stuff. Whereas now it's literally, focusing on sleep, the amount of like recovery things I have here, like I'm in the boots every night and doing pretty much everything just to keep me going, especially being a ruck. I'm a bit more of a bigger body and it's not too soft on my knees, but I honestly, it has been fun. But yeah, it's definitely a big step up.
Awesome. Well, speaking about not having so much time to do things during the preseason, I've read that you've had a pretty exciting off-season opportunity earlier in the year where you were stepping into a bit of midfield coaching, I believe, with the ADF Women's.
So yeah, pretty exciting actually. I haven't been able to do it before, just because I've had some work commitments in previous years. But yeah, I got to go away twice actually this year. Once for the National Carnival, which was where there was competition where it was pretty much two games, Army versus Navy, and then again a week later in April to Canberra, where the ADF team actually played against the New South Wales Women's Police Force. And so yeah, it was actually both of them were. Honestly, some opportunities for me to actually step into a coaching gig, which I haven't done too much of before. So to see things from the other side of the coin a little bit, but also just to meet a great group of girls from all across Australia who either play like NTFL, VFL, none of them SANFL actually. We need to try and get a few more girls down to SA, but just to meet a lot of girls all of all different ranks and people that I've never even come across in work, but to be able to yeah share the love of footy and actually step up as a coach and pass on the knowledge that I've been able to receive the last couple of years. It was an awesome week and something I'm yeah really excited to be able to keep doing in the years to come.
Yeah, that's really cool. I can imagine like sharing your wisdom for the first time in a formal capacity, you realize just how much you know, maybe as well. But were there any kind of key learnings you had from being on that other side that you've brought back to you to either like share with the midfielders or to like improve on yourself from your coaching experience?
I think that probably the biggest thing is that it's always different when you're on the other side because it's very easy to tell people to do something, but actually how much your coaching style really impacts players. I see it now coming back. Like obviously we have the resources at AFLW level where we talk about something pre-training, we look at it on a PowerPoint, then we move it around on a magnet, and then we go do it on the field compared to the old school learning of just here's this drill, let's go do it, and just running it out. And it's so interesting to see just the learning behaviors different people have and how some people just, everyone learns differently and takes things in differently. And so that was probably the biggest thing I left with was that, you actually have to understand so much more as a coach to be able to explain things in so many different ways. And also just in terms of structure, especially as a midfield coach, I probably went in not really knowing as much as I should have. And then coming back now, it's made me really delve into it this more. A lot more this year. So even though I'm a ruck, I'm trying to, wrap my head around a lot more what our mids roles, especially the wingers, who I probably never paid as much focus on in the past, so that now when anyone has a question, I actually, have some answers and can help out the team like on the capacity on the oval. So it's been really good.
That's really cool that there's like another angle, even though like you've been around footy for ages, there's another angle for you to be kind of learning from. And you spoke about, coaching and how difficult it can be. I guess the Crows have got a big shakeup coming soon with their coaching, as we had the bittersweet news earlier that this will be Clarkie's last season. What's been the feeling around the club, like knowing that this is his last season? How has it changed?
I think honestly, in the way the coaches have gone about it, nothing has changed from their angle. They've very much got the same approach, and obviously they do so much research and planning in the preseason phase to what they're going to roll out with us before we even see it. So I think from that side of the house, not much has changed. I think amongst the playing group, there's definitely a feeling of, I don't know, I get a bit of angst in the sense that, you know, everyone really wants to get Doc a premiership in his final year before he signs off. So I know as a group, we've naturally become a lot more competitive. And I think just the fact that our hours have increased, our training loads have increased and the intensity's gone up. So I think Doc's gotten a little bit more fiery sometimes at training, and everyone had this sort of assumption that he was going to go out with a bang and wanted everyone to play a bit harder. But I think naturally as a group, we've just lifted thinking it, and he did not intend for it at all. So yeah, I don't think things will switch up too much more. I just think it gives us that little bit more motivation to try and get it done for him in his last year.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, even though Adelaide still have the most premierships, it's been a bit of a dry spell recently. So it's like, if you can go out with a bang, that would be amazing. Has there been much discussion around, like, what it takes? Like, what are the key things that you need to, the games you need to win or the things you need to see to get there this season for Adelaide?
The biggest thing for us, I think, is just how we get through each quarter. We've sort of seen in the past, like, we have a history now in the last couple of years of we do really well throughout the season and then we hit the prelim. And then we just seem to have had this hurdle for the last three seasons, I think, now where we just can't get past the prelim or the elimination final. So for us, it's about longevity. Like, still, like, November is a big focus for us, but really building each game so that, you know, we're coming out fresh at come the third quarter, that whereas in previous years we've probably lapsed in that. So a big focus for us is just, you know, simulating that halftime break at training so that we come out firing in the third, so that, you know, if the third quarter is our best quarter in round one and two, then hopefully it's, you know, of course, our best quarter come the prelim. So yeah, that's the plan. It's just sort of, yeah, getting our game set really set so that we're confident throughout every quarter, even once the fatigue set in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess with a slightly longer fixture, I mean, more weeks is good, but also like another game on top of last season. I think round 10 might be the game against North, which is probably going to be a tough one to get through and probably quite important to the road to success there. So interesting about like longevity and then kind of keeping that momentum all the way into the tough end of the season.
Yeah, that's it. And I think the way the fixtures works, we end up getting a really good draw, and we've got pretty much some very good contests throughout the whole season. So I was going to say, you said round 10, but I actually didn't know which game that was, North, because I think a lot of them are quite competitive for me when I look at it. So it'll be exciting. I know there'll be lots of people, I think, road tripping from Adelaide for that game especially.
I can imagine. Maybe then in terms of you and kind of what you've been focusing on this preseason for yourself, you had a really great season last year, kind of solo ruck, more so than other years. Obviously Caitlin Gold still jumping in when she needs to, but what are you looking forward to in terms of step up opportunities for yourself this season?
Probably actually kind of on the back of that coaching stuff you talked about before, I found at training, I've had a bigger focus on trying to get my comms up. I know sometimes in games I can get very caught up in the ruck battles that I have against each opponent. But for me, it's just trying to lift my directional comms with the midfield group. But also big focus for me this offseason was just building my tank so that I've got more to give throughout the whole game, just because I have been doing a lot more of the solo ruck work, and obviously it takes a toll. So just really trying to increase my tank so that I can, you know, spend more time out there, but also more quality time, more follow-up efforts and stuff. So yeah, that's been a big focus for me.
And in terms of like increasing the tank, is there someone else that you might be sharing a bit more of that role with this year? I think we saw Lily Tarlington in there a little bit last season. Is she kind of stepping up a bit more?
Yeah, definitely. So Lily's been spending a lot of time. She's actually a bit of a utility. So the good thing about Lily is she does a lot of time doing ruck craft with me, but also spends a bit of time up forward and down back. So she can really play anywhere, but she spends a lot of time doing ruck craft with me. But we've also had Caitlin Gould down there as always, as well as Kaylee Cronin, who's our new Irish recruit, has also been spending some minutes as well at training, which is exciting. She's a bit of a smaller frame, but her strength is unbelievable. So it's actually, we've got really good tall stocks this year. Like that's four of us at training that have just been rolling through the ruck. So yeah, we've got plenty of depth in that department, which is so exciting.
Yeah, that's great to have. So you mentioned before as well, like working on your communication with the midfield group, the like ruck midfield connection is probably one of Adelaide's strengths. And it's been so good to see like some amazing highlights over past years of like your connection with Ponta, for example, or just like the way that Adelaide is so effective in the midfield there. Is there anything you guys are particularly working on to strengthen that? Like maybe communication, but is there anything else you guys are working through this season?
Probably more just building on that. Obviously, we've had a lot of confidence as a centre bounce and connection team, and I think last year the stats were pretty good on our end by the end of the season, not just at centre bounce but at stoppage. And so, kind of just trying to build that depth, like I just mentioned just before. Like I know you mentioned me and DP have pretty good connection, and yeah, obviously I love the connection that I have with DP, but this year the focus has really been on trying to improve that depth within our midfield group. So we've got a lot of young, quick girls that roll through, and so just yeah, providing us like more options and different routes and stuff we can do. So I think this year we should be pretty strong again, and just it'll be really exciting to see the connection building, not just between me and DP, but a fair few of the other mids, which will be really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because Adelaide have had such tight CBA rotations previously. And there's a few interesting or like exciting new additions to the team this year. I think there's India Rashid, who might be a bit more of a midfielder than a forward. Grace Kelly came in from St Kilda. Hannah Ewings. Are these some of the players you're thinking of that we might be seeing running through there a bit more? Is there anyone
Yeah,
else?
definitely. So yeah, we honestly, like, as you can hear, we drafted and traded really well this year. So we increased our depth, not just in new talent, but also mature age players come from other clubs. So yeah, Hannah Ewings has honestly had a pretty seamless transition coming into our group. So yeah, she spent a bit of time at CB and she's pretty exciting. She's always been a very clean player. So she's doing some good stuff. And I think Grace Kelly should get some minutes on the wing. That probably like her and Nim, they give each other a run for their money, both with their pace. And then yeah, there's a couple other young ones as well. Like we've had Sarah Goodwin, who obviously spent a bit of time in the scrimmage games in the midfield. So she's also spent a bit of time coming through there as well as down back. So that's what I mean. We actually have a fair few options of players that can come through, which is probably what's the most exciting part, is that most teams at the moment probably wouldn't expect who would be our key mids at the moment, which we probably couldn't even tell you at this point either with the depth that we've got, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's interesting you say Sarah Goodwin because I was thinking about that scratch match back with Sydney, and I was going to ask her if that's someone we might see further up forward. But it sounds like she could be a bit everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. It was actually interesting because a lot of our scrimmage games were utilized for a lot of our young girls that didn't get as many matches last year just to get a bit more minutes in their legs. But yeah, Sarah Goodwin ended up playing all three games and yeah, obviously played a bit down forward and a bit through the midfield. And yeah, honestly, she's again one of those utility players that you could really put anywhere and she's gonna yeah, give you some quality game time. So yeah, I think she could be one that'll roll through the mids and will be pretty exciting if she does.
Yeah, and it's also great to hear Hannah Ewings is fitting in well. Like she had such a kind of up and down last couple of years, going from rising star to then like having to take some time off. So glad to hear that she's kind of coming in full fit, ready, making impact already.
Yeah. No, I get along well with Hannah, and yeah, I've really enjoyed watching her come back and take even the off season in her stride, and then by the time she came in pre-season, yeah, it was honestly seamless. So yeah, I hope we see some quality games from her this year.
Nice. And then Grace Kelly is like doubling the number of sister pairings at the Crows. I believe it's just you and Sarah and then Grace and Neve.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, nice. Is there any kind of sibling inter-rivalry between you guys or?
Not really at all, actually. I think honestly, it's been really wholesome having Grace come across. I know her and Nim are honestly incredibly close, and you can just see in the way they like approach training and like essentially life together. So I think it's been a really good move for Grace to be able to come across and for them to be get together. But yeah, no, not too much. I think they definitely have both me and Sarah covered when it comes to pace. So not too much competition between the four of us. But yeah, no, it's yeah, actually really cool to have such a family atmosphere at the club, I guess.
Yeah. How has it been kind of with your sister being the co-captain coming into the second season? Older sister as well, I believe.
Yeah, older. So it's me, Sarah, and then we've got another older sister, Megan. So honestly, yeah, I really enjoy playing with Sarah, and especially having her in the leadership group. I got to work a little bit alongside her and Eb last year as part of the leadership group. So I guess it was exciting because I probably previously used to have a lot of those conversations with Sarah behind the scenes, and so to then be in the room talking with them about it as well was pretty cool. But yeah, Sarah's taken it really in her stride this year, and she's probably one person that obviously I'm a bit biased, but I'm very excited to see what she does this year. I know last year we tried to get her to play a bit of more midfield minutes. And so she spent a lot of preseason in the mids and then probably wasn't as tight of a unit in the, down the back line last year as what she would previously be. But she's honestly been training the house down in the back line this year, in my opinion. So I think she'll be pretty exciting this year. And I hope, yeah, I hope we have a really exciting year for her as a co-captain. It'd be pretty cool to end up with a flag at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. And there's one more midfielder I have to ask about. It's got to be Ebony Marinoff. I mean, she is just amazing to watch. I absolutely adore watching her. She looks like such a gun. And then to have got a W award last season was just what a huge achievement for her, and still being so young. Is there another level for Noffy this season? Like, is she getting even better?
Honestly, Noffy is one of those people where her work rate never really like alters at all. So even this year, like if you say, like, is she getting another edge? She genuinely has still just put her head down all off season and in the gym and on the track. And I think you would have seen, I don't really get amongst it, but her Strava over the off season was pretty impressive. So she definitely didn't take her foot off the pedal, that's for sure. She's genuinely been training really well. And same as Sarah, like just leads from the front in terms of her intensity, her impact at training. And I know a lot of our new young recruits that she takes under their wing can feel that impact, because there is no slowing down her in any tackle drill and stuff like that. She definitely, she gives everything her all. And yeah, I would not be surprised if she's up in the vote count again this year. She's genuinely fine in preseason. So yeah, I don't think giving her a medal last year will slow her down at all. And she's not complacent whatsoever. So she'll, as always, still be exciting to watch.
Yeah, awesome. I can't wait for it. So moving over a little bit to the forward line, one of the players that we're hoping to see back this season, is Eloise Jones. How's she going recovering from her Achilles injury, and is she going to be fit to play round one?
Yeah, honestly, I actually don't know her what her recovery timeline was meant to look like at all, but essentially from when she got injured that game to pretty much the whole off-season period, I think she essentially hit every milestone and every achievement she was meant to in her recovery. So yeah, so focused and diligent. And I think you could tell if you came out to Westlakes at the moment and saw her training, like she very much is flying. And one of those players where, because Achilles is a hard injury to come back from. And sometimes some people don't get their speed or their jump back quite as much. But yeah, I wouldn't say that for EJ. She's genuinely been training really well. So yeah, I'm pretty confident she's back for round one. But yeah, I think as always, she'll be one to look out for and one to give me the run for the money for the Mark of the Year contest. I know she usually takes a couple of hangers per game. So, yeah, I would expect nothing less from EJ this season.
Awesome. Glad to hear she'll be flying through the air once again when she's fitting back. Cool. And so, actually, there's just one final question we like to ask our interviewees, which is if you could pick a player that's going to absolutely blow it out of the park this season, is in for a big one, based on what you've seen at preseason so far, who do you reckon that would be?
I actually, I'd say Brooke Tonnen at the moment. She genuinely, I think she's season 5 or 6 now for her. So she's been around, and she's got so much experience and knowledge now. And she's kind of a player that can get moved forward, half back. But this year, I think she's just taken her preseason to another level. Even in handball game today, she was cutting angles and hitting snags all day long. And so she's one of the players where even as a group, we could all attest that her relentlessness has just improved each session. And so she's probably one that's not usually on most people's radars, but I honestly think she's going to be really important for us this year off the half back and or half forward, wherever you want to play her. And I'm really excited to see what she can do. I think her confidence has just gone through the roof and she's worked on her skills. She's worked on her fitness. And so I think she's actually, she's going to have a really good season.
Awesome. That sounds great. I mean, yeah, adding that confidence there being like the last thing you need to have a really good season. That's great to hear. So awesome. We will be keeping an eye out on Brooke then. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jess.
No, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks for that, Mel and Jess. That was wonderful to hear. I have to say, I didn't expect Brooke Tonnen to be the player to watch this preseason. Definitely one to keep an eye on. And I do love to hear that Jess is getting a little bit more training on her midfield craft, on that impacting after the stoppage, because that could be very, very relevant for the season ahead.
It is a bit of a fascinating one, but I kind of see it in that Brooke Tonnen has moments where she looks like – she's playing as a tall midfielder, looks like moments where she's playing as a key forward and looks completely natural. I'm not shocked. And also just given her age, that that's someone that you would pick. It was a great to hear from Jess. She's someone who has a fascinating journey in the AFLW, kind of starting, you know, one team, moving across to GWS, getting really injured, coming back to Adelaide and really cementing herself as kind of one of the league's best tap rucks in the last 18 months.
Yeah, no, it's been a hell of a journey. I'm excited to see, I suppose, what we're going to chat about her a little bit later. But before we do so, Liam, I know you're a little bit fatigued here, but you know, given that the majority of our people listening to this right now are Crows supporters, can you run it back one more time with some energy for Ebony Marinoff?
I just want to preface this. I don't actually have Ebony Marinoff fatigue. I just thought it'd be a funny way to think about Adelaide because I have had this conversation that many times. It's still fascinating. Ebony Marinoff is number one. The greatest fantasy season of all time is what she put together in 2024. She comes in at the highest price that we have ever seen for a player in AFLW fantasy. It is in excess of $400,000 higher than the next highest player. She averaged 30 more points than the next highest player. The question is, what is good enough to justify paying for her? If we're not going to predict another season of kind of improvement, because it would be 3 years in a row, or 4 years in a row, four seasons, by the by, what is good enough for Ebony Marinoff to average? Is it, you know, dropping down 5 points? Is it dropping down 10? Is it dropping down 20 to still justify picking her? Because I still think at the moment that an average inside 100 in the 130s, let's say that she doesn't have three scores above 170 this year, or four scores above 170, she only has two. I still think that there is a 20-point gap between her and the next highest person. And when we need to pick captains every week, the fact that Noffy sets the floor with her tackles, then absolutely, you know, hates to hand pass, loves to kick at all times, I think that she has the most natural fantasy game we've ever seen. And I just have so much confidence in picking her with the C every week.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like the confidence you feel. It definitely just gives you such a confidence that she's going to be doing a score. Like the downside is still better than most people's best, which is just ridiculous, you know? I mean, I'm looking at two players in my team right now. I'm calling them premium midfielders. And if I add their prices together, they don't quite make up the price of Ebony Marinoff, which is just ridiculous. Like, these are people that I'm hoping to average 100 this year. I don't really, it's really hard to understand just the scale to which she's popped off. It's unreal.
She's just like literally built different. And just to make it that little bit more exciting for people, she's got St Kilda and GWS in her first three games. These are two of the teams that she scored 170 plus against last year. And then Geelong was actually where she had her lowest scoring game. That was in part due to a rest towards the back end of the game because Adelaide were not really looking to change their final structure and their finals positioning, and it was kind of a game that had gone beyond what they could do anything to fix. So I really think that I think the other underrated part of what Ebony Marinoff does really disincentivizes us from needing to take a red dock going into the season to run as your loop. Because I think that her ability to be a consistent 125 plus week in, week out, even in her slightly down games, means that you can run with a full 21 players worth of options trying to gain value. Whereas if you don't pick Marinoff, you're going to need to take two bites at the cherry every week to make sure you can get close.
Yeah. I think it's one of the easiest picks that I've ever had for fantasy, but keen to hear what other people are doing as we get closer to round one and seeing who's taking it on. For now, though, let's jump across to our number two fantasy pick. Liam, who have you got for us?
It's Anne Hatchard. It's another one, another superstar midfielder. The reason why she's not number one is A, she didn't average over 145 points. and B, it's just been a little bit of a drop back in centre bounces for Anne Hatchard over the past couple of years that's seen her drop from someone who had some really elite point per minute scoring to just now good. So averaged 95.4 across the entirety of last year. Now that does actually include finals as well. So what if you're getting her in the game, you're getting her at 1.25 million. So that's 96.5 average. I think the reason why she's going to be fantasy relevant is that we know that she is what she's capable of. She's capable of being 105, 106 easily. Someone who is probably the best mark of any midfielders in the game, consistently can hit the scoreboard. I do wonder if she is someone that Doc Clark says, yep, this is my final season. I want to put together my most dominant midfield group and just see if we can make it work. And I think Anne Hatchard is absolutely in that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I do have more questions about that midfield group because I think it's a real interesting one. We've seen a lot of consistency at the Crows over the past few seasons in that midfield group. But this year, I think we're seeing some change. And to that end, would you mind bringing up your number three pick here as well?
Yeah, this is one who was well and truly off my radar until we got some preseason reports. That's Sarah Goodwin, defender. Now, she's been a bit of a slow burn fantasy-wise. She started her career at Port Adelaide, moved across after one season there to Adelaide. She'd also been a bit of a slow burn last season, not really hitting that many high scores, but then scored an 82 across halfback against Collingwood in week 8. She's someone who, you know, might have been an option for us in defence. But the thing that came across my desk in this preseason, the fact that she's playing midfield minutes, and also we're recording this before the practice match, has also been named on the ball, on the team sheet. Now, we don't read into team sheets. That's not how we play this game. Just thought it's fascinating that they are looking to try and maybe change up their midfield structure. I do wonder if the player that does move out of there is Danielle Ponta and getting her to play just out of the goal square more consistently so that there's not as much switching going on. The thing that surprises me most about Sarah Goodwin being the player that goes in is that I've always thought that it would be Tia Charlton, who is the player that next gets the 50% midfield role that might ever come about if for whatever reason Ponta, for example, was thrown out of there or Chelsea Randall was sworn off any CBAs forevermore. But I think that Goodwin immediately shot up in value in my eyes as a result of this potential midfield role. I think that kind of adds 10 points of value to her average. I don't know about you, but she's definitely been in and out of my structures so far this season as a result.
Yeah, I think if she starts in that midfield role, there's upside galore. Whether it happens or not, I suppose, is the thing that I'm most nervous about. I'm trying to I found a quote from the after the match sim that they played saying, you know, we'll play a team closer to our round one lineup in the match simulation, but we're still trialing a few players and giving them an opportunity to show us what they've got. I'm not 100% sold it's a guarantee. I just, if it does happen, it's a fascinating thing. Next up on this list is someone who used to play midfield. Doesn't sound like they're necessarily going to be doing it this season, but is priced cheap as chips. Can you tell us a little bit about Hannah Ewings?
Hannah Ewings, a former Port Adelaide star, rising star. I've already kind of mentioned her story at the beginning of the episode. She comes in this year after having not played at all in Season 9 and not exactly hitting the same heights that she had in Season 8 that she'd done in her debut season. Sounds like she's going to play a role up forward. The reason why she's sitting here is that with a past highest average above 60, she's coming in priced, she's at 466K, so only just above rookie price. For someone that, let's say, has 25 points of value on what they've done in the past, I think that Hannah Ewings is just such a high talent that she's definitely on my watch list. Like that combination of previous scoring, talent, and Price is just too tantalizing an option to kind of throw out completely, even if I don't think she's going to be in that midfield role to start the year at the very least.
Hmm. It's unbelievable how cheap she is, given the ceiling that she can hit. I think she's one that I'm really excited on. Do you think, I mean, we saw in the match sim she played mostly forward. Do you think that that's likely going to be a position for the season?
Yes. Ultimately, I think at least for the first month. I think the other reason why Hannah Ewing isn't higher in this list is I think there's some quest, like she obviously not played football at all in season 9. She needs to build back in some of that conditioning. That's very hard to do if you're playing midfield minutes early. So if it was me, and it kind of sounds like this has been the similar approach that's taken, is that you build a player up, give them reasonable game time in the forward line where they're better able to manage their running loads. And then possibly if Ewings is someone who's looking to improve, their fitness is really building, they might get some midfield minutes in the second half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. So could be a slow burn, I guess, because it sounds like she'll be starting a little bit slower then. But I mean, I think this is one who could be averaging, you know, upwards of 50, upwards of 60 if things come together by the end of the season. So one that I think I'm very likely to start, but yeah, definitely some risk there. How about your number 5 pick? Another forward at the Crows.
Yes, this is not the same value proposition as Hannah Ewing's. It's Caitlin Gould. The reason why I think that she needs to make this list is she comes in with a capability of putting together bags of goals that means that we will not be shocked if she is top 5 or around the top 5 again this year. And particularly when you consider that she starts the season with St Kilda, Geelong, GWS, I think that there is maybe at least, maybe 9 goals on offer for Caitlin Gould herself. And also has the additional benefit of being a capable ruck in a past life and getting ruck contests as the backup ruck. And there's no one else I really believe that will compete with her for that role. And so that just adds like 5, maybe 10 points a game. I think that this is another player with a high 60s, maybe a bang on 70 average in the forward line, which is enough. We don't have that like building, you know, morass of options in the forward line in past seasons where we're like, yeah, they're going to get full-time midfield roles. They could go massive. Without that, these kind of best forwards in the competition definitely present an interesting value proposition for us if we are searching for maybe an F2 in our starting teams, but at the very least, someone to target if they ever drop in value. And Caitlin Gould was that for us last year. I will not be shocked if she's the same for us again this year.
Yeah, I do think she's also one of the few forwards. We've looked at a lot of players for that top 5, and a lot of them, there's so many question marks on how they're going to return from injury, what role they're going to play. There's no one with more certainty than Caitlin Gould. So I do really appreciate that. I've gone, a similar direction with the host special this week because I have Jess Allen starting up. I think certain to be playing ruck, and from the sounds of it, has improved her fitness in the off season, some of her midfield craft. I really like that early run. I think, I guess we're not 100% certain who the ruck for St Kilda is going to be, but I think whether it's Rebecca Ott or Renee Karras, I do like her odds in that first round, following up with Geelong and the Giants. I think she could have a very, very big start to the season, and it's one of the few ways that you can, raise a bunch of cash. Maybe not hold all season, but, you know, move on to a top liner like Mim Strom early. So I'm very excited to be starting Jess Allen in my team at the moment. We'll see how that goes going into the first round.
Yeah, the big question that I have on Jess Allen, and this is just a question that I have about the league generally, is the impact of the new ruck contest and tackling rules and how big they're going to be on limiting the number of ruck contests that we see. And the reason why I think that applies most strongly to Jess Allen is that a lot of her scoring happens at or around stoppages or from hitouts, and she's not exactly a high scorer in transition. Now, if her midfield craft is going to improve and that's something that we can rely on, I think the scoring boost is definitely there. It's just, I worry that Jess Allen might be one of the most highly impacted players by any any rule changes that we see which limit the number of ruck contests that happen week to week.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. I do think from the games that I've seen so far of the match sims and the practice matches, I'm less concerned than I once was about the holding the ball rule, but there were definitely a lot of occasions where that ball was being tossed up where the rucks weren't there yet. So it's definitely a concern. It's something that I'll definitely be considering over the next little while, I suppose, coming into the first round. Otherwise, look, I suppose that's all the players that we were going to talk about. But I do know, I think of all the teams that we've talked about in this preseason series, Adelaide is one of the ones we've had the most difficulty in limiting it down to just six players. So, Liam, I know that you love just rambling off a bunch of names and things. If I just gave you, you know, 15 seconds for a player pitch.
The floor.
Are there any names you want to just add on to us at the end here very, very quickly?
So one of Brooke Boileau or India Rashid will get a role, I think, in the 21. For Adelaide, both of them have elite scoring potential at Sanford W level. I think Boileau went above 96. I think Rashid was like at 106 average. So two rookie price players or at or around rookie price who I eminently believe have the capability to score on their day. Both of them are going to be forwards. I don't know enough about the chances that one will get picked over the other to put them in the top five, but I do expect one of them to play.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're coming in with such great fantasy pedigree. I really hope that they can get the role that they need, because Brooke Boileau in particular played a few games towards the end of last season and didn't really get... She was playing out of the forward line, which is just not what her midfield craft is about, so... I'm hopeful we get to see that at some point. I've also been looking at Eloise Jones.
The other player we have to mention is... Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, because I think after missing so much of last season, she's fairly heavily discounted. And from all preseason training reports, she is running very, very well. So I'm really hopeful that she can get off to a good start this season. And as a fairly cheap forward, all things considered, I think she's definitely one to look at as well.
And it would be remiss of us not to mention Chelsea Randall. Will be offended that it's with seconds to go in the episode, but she has managed to find a way to be relevant again by being named as a defender this year. It's not a player that I've picked very often because I find the role changes week to week. It will take years off your life if you're living and riding with every up and down, but I do expect that at some point she's going to have a high score. And the people that pick her will definitely benefit from it. I don't know what role it's going to be. I don't know what game it's going to be. But we just know that a high tackle, high mark game is coming at least a couple of times this season for Chelsea Randall, particularly if she can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the risk of her just playing as a lockdown defender on any given week is way too high not to be highly concerned about starting her on your side. But, boy, if that role does look to cement itself at some point during the season, it's going to be exciting. Brilliant. Well, that is going to do us for this episode on the Adelaide Crows. Tomorrow, I think we'll be discussing the third place team, the Brisbane Lions. So a very exciting one again. You can follow us on Free Kick W Pod on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and Instagram. We'll have our article on the Adelaide Crows up on the Substack as you're listening to this. So go check that out as well. And yeah, otherwise we look forward to hearing or chatting to you tomorrow.
All right. See you, everyone.
Bye.